I would say that anyone who listens to the show or anyone who reads books or thinks about this stuff, like, you know, there's something inside them which is saying, like, there's more. There's more. I want to know more. You need to know more, whatever that would be.
For some odd reason, I had to have more. You know, it was like a hook. It got me, and I knew that I had to continue looking. You know, whether it was in those woods or other places, I knew I had to branch out and do this more often.
Many things we could talk about that experience, but one of them, I just realized there's people who just cannot deal with the idea that something in our experience is outside of the material or the explainable. And
you're okay with me being involved in the occult, but I'm a weirdo because I saw UFO. All right. That makes a whole lot of sense.
He is a reptilian hybrid. So he looks normal, but he actually is a reptilian.
He never believed me. All these things were happening, he never believed me. He goes, oh, yeah, right, sure. I see images walking down the hall at night, big black images, and like almost like the thing on Harry Potter. It was just bizarre.
Spiritual, they do, you know, they let out good spiritual energy. So that's what a lot of witchcraft is, she explained to me. But she said, that's not what our coven believes. We're the other kind of witch. So we're all getting kind of terrified at this point.
He said, you were disrespectful of their burial ground. You, as a Native American, should know better than to build there. And the spirits are angry with you for doing that.
Parents, listen to your children. Do not rule the paranormal out. That is so important. Please believe them. Help them.
I looked up, and this upright, walking, hairy creature was walking into the tree line about my 3 o'clock position, and it had the deer over its shoulder. It grabbed its head, took it, and just smashed it up against a tree.
You do have a special Valentine's Day tour coming up because, well, I think I just saw an orb fly by you, by the way.
Did you? Fantastic.
Sure, that's
I'm not
what it
surprised.
Was. I'm going to go look at it after, but
I
think yeah,
you have
yeah,
a lot
just,
of energy around me.
Yeah, just like quickly across your right side there.
Oh, wow. I didn't even feel
cool.
it.
We'll have to look at that after.
There's happy energy in here. I feel it's happy, which is good.
Oh, yes, it's that time again. Time for your Friday Night Fright. This is Unexplained Incorporated, and I'm your host, Phantom Phil. Like each and every Friday night, Unexplained Incorporated is open for business and ready to believe you. Tonight, this is a great interview, a lot of fun. It only gets partially weird, unlike the last few shows I've done. I will be welcoming a guy I connected with on Facebook who loved the Hollow Earth episode Unexplained Dead back in the middle of May, and I was able to connect with him in late June, and we got this going on, and for about the next hour and 20 minutes or so, what you're going to hear is two guys in the podcasting game who are on the similar page, I guess the same page I should say, who have had a crazy amount of synchronicities happen to them. And we get into some topics that are mostly about podcasting and the evolution of our shows. And we have a fun chat about our highest rated guest, Flat Earth Dave. Yes, Mr. David Weiss has been the most popular guest on both of our shows, believe it or not. And we get into some of that. And just a lot of metaphysical, spiritual topics, and not a whole lot more I need to say about it, as sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of two guys in the same game with the same goals, wanting to bring the same light and truth out to the world, as Gio from the Daily Transcendence podcast. He's one half, and you're going to hear about the other half of his show, and I guarantee he's going to be joining us. That would be Ray sometime in the future, and would love to meet him. But for just an interesting chat on the industry and the evolution of our shows, and yeah, some metaphysical and spiritual topics. I think you'll really enjoy this one, but I don't want to give it too formal of an intro, as that's the job of Angel Card Amy, of course, and here she is to officially usher in this lengthy yet wonderful chat.
Geo, as one half of the hosting team of the Daily Transcendence podcast, which is based out of New Jersey, it is a lengthy chat between the two podcasters who go deep into their story and why they chose the path they are on. They approach topics of synchronicity, alien disclosure, and other mysteries of the universe. Strap in, as the next hour and a half will fly by quick.
It is my honor and privilege right now to welcome a first-time guest to Unexplained Incorporated. I always love getting new guests onto the program. This is the man behind the Daily Transcendence podcast. This is Geo. Geo, what's going on today, man? And thank you for taking the time to come on the show. This is going to be fun, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All about the fun, and I appreciate you having me on and reaching out, because I honestly think that that's the best way for this, even just this line of work alone, minus the information. I mean, I it's the best way.
You want to hear a funny story? Like, I'm well into my late 30s, and for the first 6-7 months of doing this show, people kept bugging me to get on Instagram, and I was like, oh, that's for kids. I won't be able to keep up with it. And I finally relented in late January of this year, and I cannot describe the amount of amazing connections I've made just through that channel alone. So you're right. This is how you got to do it. You can't resist any of the mediums. You got to just go for it as many different ways as possible.
Yeah. You have to make those connections. You know what's so funny? Like, I honestly, I'll be open and honest right here, mm-hmm. right now. Instagram has literally been just a dead ground, I feel like. We've done our growth as far as, I don't know, just I honestly, it's been in other areas as well. But like, I mean, Instagram has, I'm not going to say it's a dead of growth, but Instagram has been, you know, not the main focus, apparently. I thought it would be, you mm-hmm. know, as far as me and Ray, when it comes to the podcast, like, I really am focused on a lot of the marketing and reaching out and the visuals when it comes to that. Hasn't been as important as I thought it would be.
Well, that's really interesting, because the other mediums I'm on, not to say that I don't care about them, but I'm less active now on Facebook and Twitter and more engaged with Instagram. And it's done wonders for me, but I mean, it's not the same for everybody. And I started following you guys a little while back, and yeah, I only see a few posts here and there, but I mean, just do whatever works for you at the end of the day.
Yeah. I think that's also a big contributor as well, is about the fact that maybe we don't post as frequently as we should, or so the world will tell you that you should. It'll get there, I think. I mean, I'm not saying, like, I mean, I think social media is an absolute definite avenue when it comes to podcasting and with anything, any sort of small business too. I think it absolutely is an avenue. I just really thought, though, that I just thought at this point that it would have been a lot more predominant in helping our growth. It definitely was a starter, I definitely think, but you know, it's amazing to see the fact that people really, and this goes out to you and to all podcasters, it really goes to show that people really just care about what they're listening to.
Yeah, more or less. I agree with that as well. Yeah. Well, Instagram has done wonders for me and will continue awesome. To do so. And my website as well. I'm branching out with other versions of that as well. But what's so ironic about this whole conversation, Geo, is that if my memory serves me correctly, you thanked me for reaching out to you. But if I remember properly, because it seems like a lifetime ago now, even though it was only a month ago, you reached out to me first and I replied and said, hey, let's do something. And the reason being is that you and your other host were ecstatic about collaborative episode I did with the Hush Hush Conspiracy Hour podcast back in May on the Hollow Earth. Now, we're going to get into some of those topics this evening, because I know it's right up your alley as well as mine. But what was it about that one episode that got you hooked? And I'm not just doing this to get you to blow smoke or whatever. It's just, I just want to know, why did that resonate with you so much? Because I think between our two shows, we've covered a lot of the same topics. So I'd love to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, like when I saw that, because I was in this, I was a little bit like on the, I had my eyes peeled for anybody who was in the realm. And I got to say, what we talk about and what we discuss and what we go deep into is like a bunch of different things, but yeah, all in the same realm. And what you were talking about really was in that realm. And I didn't realize actually until just recently how deep of that realm that what you were talking about was in. And I still myself haven't been able to go as deep as I wanted to go with it. But yeah, that's so funny that you mentioned that, because like I forgot about the fact that that's what really caught my eye. And I'm so glad that it did, because it enabled this to happen.
Yeah. And like I said, to me, just June is always a busy, chaotic month in my life. It seemed like a really long time ago.
It's all right. Busy's good.
Mm-hmm. A lot longer than it was. I'm going to get to your show in just a minute here, The Daily Transcendence, because I want to find out what you consider your show to be, and then I'm going to tell you what I consider mine to be. Mine started out as a certain niche, but it's rapidly expanded and it's going to go into a number of different directions. But at the time of this recording, this episode's going to drop much later, which is something I don't normally do, but that's just how things worked out for this one. We are more than likely mere hours away from some body of the United States government, whether it be military intelligence, the White House or whatever, almost by law is going to have to drop some information on UFO and extraterrestrials. And that very well could happen as early as tomorrow, the day after this recording. When this episode drops, I may record something completely different in the outro than what we say here, but I think this will be a really unique moment in time to have this discussion right now before we get into the evolution of both of our shows.
Oh, absolutely. It's the best. It's the best time to have that type of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot going on, and it's so funny. I'll just give you a little insight. I was sitting outside with my neighbors, and let's just say when you go into topics as we do, you normally are looked at as an outsider, aren't you? Or a little bit crazy or something like that.
Yeah. Just to give you a quick example of that. My workplace, my day job, I work, because my shift covers several different shifts throughout the day. And I literally am in contact with almost 100 people a day, give or take. Mm-hmm. And I think there's only a small handful on one or two hands I can have these types of conversations with. So I know what you mean.
Yeah. It's very minimal. And even if people are willing to listen, it's very minimal, very, very minimal if they have some sort of reception to it. But I mean, and this will go eventually into the point of the podcast, why we even did it.
Yep.
But like, I was honestly like, you want to talk about divine timing, just to even have this conversation with you, like it made me realize, especially with what kind of conversation we talked about having. It made me realize how much more that why you, yourself, me, Ray, other podcasters, why we do what we do and why what we're trying to accomplish. I mean, I can't speak for everybody, of course, but yeah, it was just amazing. And it just made me realize about how much information is out there and how lucky we are to be able to distribute that information. So lucky.
Yeah. Like what a time to be alive, as crazy as it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So my show is a member of a podcast network that we'll be launching shortly called the Void Podcast Network. And we've recorded one special together, our special group of shows. And it was on this very subject. I'm just going to tell you briefly my take on this whole thing, because like this roundtable I recorded a while back went in a lot of different directions, covered just about everything possible. For those of you who go back and listen to the archives of my show, especially in spring and part of summer of 2020, I had a guest on who was local to me who had a life-altering UFO experience about 7 years ago. And ever since then, he claims to have been in direct contact with ETs, okay? And he's a guitar player, and he believes, and he's a really good one too, like he writes mostly instrumental music, but he believes that something in the tuning of his guitar frequency has helped him get in touch with all these beings and all that, right? Anyway, his conversation, it's a two-part episode. It goes really deep, and it opened his eyes to people that are into studying these things, discussing these things, UFO conventions, and people who claim to be alien human hybrids and starseeds and all that, like completely altered his life, I think possibly in the best way you could imagine. And I say to myself, okay, if we have people like him and others like him who are legit and who aren't just totally crazy crackpots, which I don't believe he is, you know, and you can debate that all you want to, but that's my take on it. Then having someone like the US government or one of its military arms officially confirming that UFOs are out there, I just look around and I say, okay, what's the big deal here? There's people around who are telling me much more detailed information that are consistent with their stories, but you don't want to listen to them because you think they're crazy. But if it comes from, you know, the strong arm of the law, so to speak, then it's legit. So that's my overall thoughts on this thing. So I'm like, something will roll out, but it's going to be small compared to what we get later on, or it's going to be purposely misleading. That's kind of where I stand on this in a short version.
You said a key word right there, purposely misleading. That's been my biggest thing. And I know that there's so many conspiracy theories and all of that. And it's such a shame. It's such a shame what the term has done to a society of intellectuals rather than conspirators, or conspiratorials, I should say. You got to look for false flags. And this goes really deep into why what's funny about the Daily Transcendence is that we never intended to be so historical when it comes to talking about things.
Okay.
We definitely never intended to be conspiratorial. But the reason behind understanding the history was so that you can see the actual timeline, because I was very obsessed with understanding. I came from a Christian background too. And I was very, very obsessed with the logical part of the brain and being like, well, if this happened, then I know that this happened at that same time. How does that match up? So that was always my mission, but my faith and my belief in the dogma also kept me under wraps, in my own mind, to being like, oh, if you dwell in that part of your mind and you're doing the wrong thing and you're doing this. I got to a certain point, and it took me many years to get to a certain point to understand that I was like, you're not doing anything against what you believe. What you believe is in your heart. Nothing's gonna sway that unless you allow it to sway it. So what you're doing is you're enhancing it. You're also understanding it more. You're making it more legible. You're making it more perceivable for other people, the same way that religion has done in the ways that they've done it. Only you're doing it on more of a base that's not off of power, control, all these things that we see nowadays. So when you say, you know, to have that factual side of maybe something like UFO experience, alien type experience, even myself, I've never denied, doesn't matter what point in my life, I never denied that we are not the only existence. But as I've gone through this, whoa, does things make even more sense? And I guess what? I still treat it like I know nothing. I know nothing, but I'm aware of all things. And I'm still not even that aware. I'm not going to put myself above anything, but I'm very aware of things. And I'm like, I think that's what humanity takes, is just to have a little bit of awareness of self first.
Yeah, the concept of awareness runs so deep, and dare I say infinite. And yeah, it makes so much sense to me, because like you said, I think the reason you can't talk about this stuff with large groups of people is because there's, for whatever reason in their life, there's just a limited box of awareness. And that's where it begins and ends. I don't know how else to put it other than that.
Yeah. I mean, I also think it's the fact of, as we've gone on, I mean, even beforehand, that's why this was very, this was the us starting our podcast was very skeptical at first. It started very internally for both of us. I got to say though, Ray helped awaken the side of me. He helped kick me in the ass the way I needed it to be.
Cool. And to stop you there real quick, tell us a little bit more about Ray and the type of influence he's had on you, just because we haven't really brought him up yet. So I want to know a little bit more about him.
I could talk a lot about Ray, and I know that I could do him a lot of justice, and it's not even to the fact that I need to do him justice. The man does justice on his own. You want to talk about alienation? You want to talk about somebody who's been on the outside as far as what society considers the outside for a while? I got to give props to this guy. He stood his ground. He always stood into it. He knew something was up, you know, like we all do. We all have our faults and our mishaps, our misleadings, everything. But he, if I'm going to get it right, and I wish that, you know, I mean, I'm sure we'll do something more so that he could give more of his side of it. But if I'm going to go into it, he has been doing this for years. He was very interested for years. He was not the type of person to be just conformative to any sort of thing. And I think that was his strong suit. But the thing was that because he wasn't conformative, any sort of factual or definite belief that came across his table did not make him be like, hey, yeah, this is it. That's done. That's it. He went deeper. He always went deeper, and he sat there and took his time to slowly disassemble his reality. And this is what we speak about that takes the most effort. Disassemble your reality, disassemble your mind, disassemble beliefs, just so you can crush them down and build them back up from something that has more of a foundation. And he did this through understanding many different parts, and it just opened up a whole another realm. It's the same thing that's happening for me now. I mean, this is something for me when it came down to that. I grew up in a Christian faith. I also questioned things. I also had a deep interest for history. This is how we kind of crossed paths. Not to mention that we went to high school together, but me and him weren't friends. We were friends through friends and not really friends. But later on in life, somehow we crossed paths again, and it's been history ever since. So, when I went to it and I met him with it, especially with him opening, it all actually started with astrology, because that was something that with my Christian faith was just like, I don't know, that's questionable. That goes against what I believe. And I was taught that that was bad. And he showed me it in a different light, that it didn't take much for him to show me it in a different light. He showed me what I needed to be shown, and I saw it, and I took my own perception of what I knew. And I was like, holy shit, this is confirming. This is confirming of everything that I felt. Let me take it a little bit further. Once I took that a little bit further, it was like every other piece of the puzzle opened up. It showed me history. Where did astrology come from? All these things.
Once Ray helped you open those doors, did you start to experience a rash of synchronicities after that? I'm going to assume you did, right?
Unbelievable amount. Okay. Unbelievable. And it's so funny because it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop.
Still goes. Yeah. Yeah.
Still goes.
Yeah. I agree with you. Sometimes I'll have gaps between mine, but then they'll start coming in rapid fire and I'm like, oh, better pay attention. Something's coming up. So, really fascinating story about you two coming together and how you had a direct influence on each other. And I mean, like you said earlier, to me, that's an example of divine timing, because you guys are in the same high school. You're not really close. And then you just seemed to come together at the right place at the right time, and then everything went off. So what turned this relationship into one where you were going to go into the hobby or a business venture of starting a podcast? And then after that, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about my journey, and we'll spitball back and forth from there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so funny because it just started off with just deep conversation back and forth and just late night dealing with, we ended up working in the same place together. That's how it all kind of started. I honestly was looking for a job after moving from, I was from the same part of town that he was in because we went to high school together, but I moved away for a while, but I came back. And in coming back, we sat there and I was very close by to a place I had no idea that he worked at. I just was like, oh, I'm going to do this temporarily. I'm going to go there. All of a sudden, I actually wasn't going to the place that he worked at. I was going to the place next to it. And the place was closed still. It was like, you had to do it by email. So I was like, all right. And I walked past and I was like, and I, something inside me was like, look inside there. There's somebody that you used to know, that you know, that used to work in that type of corporation. And I did. I looked inside and I was like, ah, he's not going to be there. He used to work at the other one. I looked inside. He's there. And I was like, what is going on? So I walk inside. I'm like, dude, what's up? And like I said, we weren't like that close. We just were, you know, I was friends with one of his ex-girlfriends and everything. And we just started talking and he offered me a job and I was grateful. And I was like, cool. I was like, that's great. It's around the corner from my house. But like, as we worked together, we started talking more and he started releasing things to me that I knew internally were just right. And we built on that. It just started with conversation, deep conversation, car rides, being around friends, and all of a sudden not being able to connect to anybody else and just having conversations on our own, to the point where I kind of turned around to him. I was like, dude, we should just record this. And he was like, yeah, man. He's like, we could start a podcast. And we thought it was a joke. And I was just like, yeah, I was like, let's record it. And I still have, and I know he does too, because he's an archive freak. Yeah. And we still have the original recording of after saying those words. And we just started recording about just thinking and talking. And it grew. It grew in such a sense that we were like, it's not just talking. It's about the fact of like the same way we took our own personal experiences with this information and this knowledge and learned how to adapt it into our lives to make it efficient. And we saw other people do it. We saw other accounts of it. We saw our teachers. We saw reading things. And we're just like, wow, there's so much that we don't know. We know nothing at all.
Yeah. You can speculate till the end of the day, every day. But what you truly know, it's hard to define. And I love the humility of it all. Just before I share some of my experiences with you, Gio, I have to ask, where do you guys see the podcast going? And I don't want to give a specific time, like 6 months to a year, because I mean, you don't really know. But I mean, what is the next step for your show? Because you have a solid foundation, you have a solid following. And the more you do these things, the more they evolve. I have my own ideas on how I want to involve Unexplained Incorporated. I just don't know when I'm going to do them. So what's coming up on the horizon potentially for the Daily Transcendence?
I'd say in that sense is we always see it, especially still now to this day, and we did for a while now, is learn, learn, learn. And then on top of it is that less can be better a lot of the times. We're just like, you know what, let's create quality content. Let's make it to the point that, you know, not only are we giving good information, because our thing is that many teachers or that we've gone through is that, or many, a lot of information that we go through, it only specifies a certain way, but it never tells you what to do with the information.
Right.
And we're like, why can't we, what's to stop us from taking all that information and transcending it into something that's so useful to any person who hears it? To something that's going to be so helpful in their own life to transform their own beliefs into ones that better serve them. you know, and that's been our motto, is to be able to be like, and we're not going to go on an egotistical route. We're not going to sit there and be like, oh, we're better than anybody else. We know anything else. We're going to try to take the most unbiased route in discussing this information. And that's very hard to do because everybody has their own bias, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to show sometimes too, as much as you want to try to not be biased, it happens. We're human. Yeah. So that's been our thing as far as taking it forward and letting us realize that we're just going to make it more so in a digestible way. And that means word wise, information wise, quality wise with sound. I got to give Ray so much props for that because he's such a stickler on sound and everything. So he makes sure that's always in check. But even the fact of bringing video, bringing bonus content, like that's just where it's going to go. But we're taking our time.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I mean, it sounds like to me I need to find my equivalent of Ray, because I do have help with this show. That is 100% true, but I do a bulk of the heavy lifting on my own.
It's hard.
That's just the way it's been, and it's really hard. And I know that I'm going to be, I guess, a victim to my own limitations one day. That's why I'm scaling nice and slow. And the thing I'm most proud of after doing this for almost a year and a half is that I've built everything organically. Like, I've never had to beg for followers. I've never, you know, gone down the scamming route of paying for them or any of that nonsense. Like, it's a small base, but this base of mine literally reaches around the world. And that makes me so proud and wants me to keep building. And like you said, that's not out of a place of ego or arrogance. That's from the heart and just wanting to share. So Gio, real quick, here's the nutshell of my journey, and then we'll open it up for some more back and forth.
Let's go. I'm excited. I've been dying to hear just another account of in this realm. So I'm ready.
Now, I'm going to give you a couple of cheap plugs first, because there's only so much I can talk about here. But if you want the expanded versions of what I'm talking about, go to my website, thephantomhub.com. I released a 4-part blog series last summer called The Path to Purpose, and I have another 3 or 4 of them on there as well. So that's going to uncover a lot. And recently, as of a week ago, I did my first ever guest blog on another website called myspiritualshenanigans.blog. And that is about my entry-level journey into shamanism as well. And that one is, you know, being read all over the globe, and it's amazing what it's going to do for the show in the future. So check those two things out if you want to hear more of my journey and if you're new to this. So, but just the short version, Gio, is I have a background in media and radio. I had, you know, part-time careers there. And I also, growing up, listened to a lot of radio, and eventually, starting in summer of 2015, I listened to a lot of podcasts. So almost through osmosis, from a tech side and a hosting perspective, I figured out what worked and what didn't, and I applied it into my own show. But along the way, I had 2 different podcasts in the past that both revolved around music. They had a couple of decent little runs, but back then, number one, the hosting forums weren't as accessible and easy to use as they are now. And number two, I really had no idea what I was doing. So like, both times, the first one was on my own and the second one was with a friend. Like, both times we just sputtered and burned out and just moved on to other projects. Like, that's just what happened. But then during that time, my older brother, he hosts a true crime podcast called The Trail Went Cold. And he's been on my show a couple of times when there's been related topics, and he's great. He just celebrated, I believe, his 6-year anniversary back in the winter time. And not only has he built an amazing following, he's made good side income from this as well. And I always say this, it really started when him and I were kids. We didn't have cable for the longest time. We had, I think, 12 channels growing up. But one of those channels, when we were growing up, showed Unsolved Mysteries once a week.
Yeah.
Maybe twice if there was a rerun. And we took to it like you wouldn't believe. And that fed our curiosity for books and other things. But it's interesting. It kind of created a schism with him and I. He went down the true crime law routes. I went more down the paranormal unexplained route. Mm. And after seeing all of his success and what he did, I was like, you know, with my kind of failed attempts or learning attempts, a previous podcast and my tech background, I should give this another go. And from when I really started to think about it compared to when I launched, it was a good almost 6 months of pre-planning. Okay. Like this wasn't done on a whim.
I think that's similar to us too. It was about the same amount of time pre-planning. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's, here's another aspect of it is, long story short, I went back to school from summer of 2016 to 2017. And what gave me an added advantage to starting a podcast in 2020 was that I completely relearned the advances in technology. This trade school, it didn't give me a lot of what I was hoping for, but what it did give me was, number one, the basic understanding and fundamentals of how to run a Mac computer, because the computer I'm talking to you on right now, I ended up buying before going to school there, and it was the first Mac I ever owned. I'd been PC my whole life, and then it opens up, there's a course on basically how to use and navigate through a Mac, and then digital technology, and it all escalated from there. And I actually did we had to do a podcast series, like a mini one for an assignment. And I did like a 5-part podcast on Star Wars. And
oh, wow.
At the time I was like, you know what, this is really fun. I should go back and explore this one day maybe. And after I finished that program, long story short, I went through some health issues and then professionally things just went sideways. And I think this was leading towards what was going to be my dark night of the soul, a long, slow burn. And then within the last year or two, even with the pandemic, I'm just coming out of it, I feel, for the most part. But during this time, I made this decision that maybe I wanted to do a career in videography. So I started doing some on the side. I started exploring it. And then this idea came to me one day, wait a second. If I'm getting into videography, what if I get into ghost hunting? And then I said, what if I start a podcast on ghost hunting and make it an exclusive video podcast? And then I was just like, whoa, man, I think I'm onto something.
You are. You are.
This is like mid 2019. And then I didn't give it any serious thought again until early fall of 2019. And a big sign that I got was fellow Canadian Dan Aykroyd appearing on the Joe Rogan podcast and in September of 2019 and just telling some wild stories. And then I realized, because I think some of the other shows I listened to were kind of leaning in this direction, and I realized, this paranormal thing is something I'm getting reinvested in and reinterested in. But on the bigger shows, the bigger podcasts, it's doing huge numbers. And then I said, wait a minute. And then all of it added together. And I said, I'm probably on to something. And this is what sealed the deal for me. So I started doing Reiki sessions as a client in late 2013, which was a few months before my marriage ended. And I went through a lot of life altering things. My first practitioner essentially cut me off. I had really bad sleep apnea and I passed out on her table. So I think she thought I was a liability maybe. So, but I reconnected with another one who was also a psychic medium. And I started going to her once in a while when things were rough and we had built a good rapport and had become friends. And I just blurted out to her after a session. I said, hey, I'm thinking of starting a podcast. Do you want to contribute? And she's like, yes.
That's awesome.
She, for just, I'd say about 8 or 9 months, she did a monthly segment on the show called The Psychic Mailbag. And if you look through my archives, she would appear at the end of every month and then would help me later on do some bonus content. January, February of this year. Yeah, I think it was February. She had to step away because she has a family to look after, and the pandemic reimagined a whole bunch of ways for her to interact with her family and to do her business online and stuff. So, I mean, she just didn't have time for it. But I'll just tell you real quick, it's so funny how things work, and you'll appreciate this, is some of my original plans, which some of the true believers know, had to get scrapped because of the lockdown and the pandemic. But some of my original plans were for to make it like a video podcast, like, you know, in vein of the Joe Rogan Experience, or at least do video episodes once a month anyway. Yeah. And we were going to rent space at a metaphysical store and then tie her into it. And we were also going to go out with paranormal investigators, because a friend of mine introduced me to friends of his who happened to be a team as a whole family.
Damn.
Who helped me launch this thing and have been on the podcast many times. So we had all these plans to do that and to go out and film investigations and share our results either on the show or as bonus paid content. COVID comes along, wipes all that out completely. Like,
yeah, as it was a big hiccup. That was actually our startup, but yeah, I could imagine trying to do it in the process.
Okay, well, very, very recent guest I had on, Ben Axe from the Paranormal Activities podcast. We had a good joke because we launched our podcast on the exact same day, March 27th, 2020. Oh, and I had to go to a whole backstory with him, and I'll just tell the short version here. I was going to launch my show on March 20th of 2020, which was the first day of spring. But then in my neck of the woods, that's when everything was just hitting the fan. Everything was shutting down. And I had this like serious moment of self-doubt where I'm like, I don't know if anybody's going to care about what I'm doing right now. Things are all screwed up. Like, maybe I should just put this on hold. And plus I had some, if you go back and listen to that episode, I had some serious logistic issues with recording as well, which I won't get into again here, but it's, it's on the June 18th episode. If you want to listen to that, it's quite a funny story, but too lengthy for right now. But anyway, something clicked in me and I just persevered anyway. And then everything snowballed from there. So.
Wow. That's a phenomenal story. And I think honestly, one, the first thing that caught me was the signs, the feeling, the intuition that got me where it was like, that was the direction to go. That was your calling. That was what you needed to do. And who's to say where that leads you? Doesn't matter. It's the fact that you took that road. And one thing I want to say is, like, even because like I said, me and Ray, we're in debate about starting this podcast come. Oh yeah. That was the funny thing. Me and Ray, actually, we were friends. I told you, we like reconnected. We became friends for a while and stuff. And we actually disconnected for about a good 4 to 6 months, something like that again.
Yeah.
And I think once I started having some sort of revelation or awakening process on my own, that was just needed to continue at this point. And I'm not the type of person that I could be stubborn. I'm a Taurus. I'm very stubborn. So I decided to reach out to him and make the connection again. And we did, and we kept things going, and I moved out of whatever environment I was in that he also disagreed with it, but he understood why I was in it. And that's what really started it. And it was funny was that as soon as we started planning on really doing this, the pandemic happens. And we're just like, cool. We're like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to use this time to just do what we have to do and really pinpoint out how to go about this and learn how to do this.
Good.
Because obviously it's like, it's our passion. The same thing with you. It's your passion. You deserve, and anybody who it's their passion deserves to be able to be comfortable, financially stable, secure in doing their passion. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, unless your passion is to go out and hacksaw people to death. I mean, we can talk about that, but
that's a whole other issue. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So like that was the time frame. So the fact that you took that initiative already beforehand going into it and like really made that work is awesome.
I think one of my life lessons that, you know, in some ways I'm still learning is that I had a lot of abandoned and failed projects leading up to this. And some of them were really out of my control. I would meet someone, I'd hit it off. We're going to do this. Yeah, we're going to do this. And then it's like, oh yeah, sorry. Me and my girlfriend are moving like 5,000 miles away. Bye. Like stuff like that would happen to the point where it was very disheartening and very alienating. And I felt going into this, I was like, this is the one I have to get right. I can't identify why or how, but there's just this big feeling surrounding. And I think this ties into what you said before. My head was saying, oh, the world's in disarray right now. No one's going to listen to your show. Don't launch it right now. But something in my heart said, yeah, keep it going, keep it going. Mm-hmm. Just take it nice and slow. And then, we're at the present moment.
That's the thing. Like, that's one thing I got to be thankful for, kind of the outreach as far as like trying to understand, because I'm a thorough person. Like sometimes Ray's thorough in his own ways. I'm thorough in my own ways. And let's be honest, like we bicker, we've done our part in not knowing, like, you know, maybe disagreeing or something like that. But the thing is, though, is that we realized that when we did that, we were starting to get beyond ourselves. We were starting to get to a point that started straying away from the point of doing this. And no matter what, and I think Gary V is the one who actually says it, no matter what, you started a podcast, you started this, like, don't expect it to just happen. Like, you're going to just keep doing. Don't give up. As soon as you keep going and going and going, you'll get to the point where you want to be at, you know? Yeah. 100%. So it's like, and it's like, that's the thing. It's like, if you can self-sustain yourself in the meantime and still do it. And that's why I'm saying I commend you completely to hold that responsibility to keep it going, the networking, the marketing, the keeping all this process going, the recording, the editing, all this stuff. Like, once again, I'll say, and I'll say this to Ray too, because I hope he sees this and he appreciates it. Like, he has no idea how much I appreciate him for doing the things that he does when it comes to more of the technical side. I'm learning from him. It's the reason why I have the MacBook that I have. It's the reason why I have this. Like, I'm more of somebody that's like, oh yeah, in due time, I'll do this. But he moved away as well. We used to live in the same spot, do the podcast, right. But he moved away and he was like, hey man, he was like, I think you should start doing this more than normal and get these things and start learning. So you could do, and he opened up my eyes to be like, you can do this, 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 and that with the equipment or whatever that you learn. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And so that's what I'm saying. No matter what, when it comes to you, when it comes to anybody else, when it comes to even talking to myself, and talking about the daily transcendence, like, do not stop. It's your expression. That's the other thing. That's the big thing. It's your expression.
And that expression can turn into the essence of your being if you allow it to. Yeah. I just want to say this right now. My fellow members who have become fast friends of the Void Podcast Network, they're scattered throughout the United States, different areas, some different time zones. I'm up in Canada and they keep saying, oh yeah, we got to get together and, you know, do a Bigfoot hunt or something. And I'm like, yeah, I'm game, but I can't leave the country till, you know, who knows when, right? So we have to put that on hold. But the point I'm making is that in our meetings we've had, each and every one of us has a different skill set and a different strength to offer. And that's why I feel the growth of this network eventually is going to be something powerful in the future, because we have our tech guys, we have our marketing guys, we have guys who, you know, who are better at narrating and interviewing than some others. And it just, it all adds into this one beautiful picture at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's community. And this is something that me and Ray have spoken about on, I think, a few episodes as well, when it comes to what we talk about, as far as even the astrological ages and everything, is that we're in a time of technology. We're in a time of community, identity, being able to understand where we're at, who we identify with when it comes to ourselves and outside of ourselves, groupthink, you know, that could be bad, that could be good. There's no good or bad when we talk about things. Like, it's good or bad is an identification that us humans have perceived on things. You could take anything and turn it into good. It's the same way. I'll actually, you know what? I'll use Ray's little metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a hammer, right? And you can build a house with it and house a bunch of people and feed them and do so on, so on, so on. Or you could take that hammer, you could bash someone's head in.
Yeah, you have the lyrics of Cannibal Corpse's hammer smashed face. That's the opposite end of that, really. I mean, just exactly. To be true.
That's it. It's a duality. And that's the things that we explain. And we explain it not only just in a spiritual form, a biblical form, astrological form. We try to take that hermeticism of it and be able to synchronize it together and be able to bring it together to understand that it's something that no matter what dwells within you.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm going to talk about kind of the frame of our shows in just a second, because you got me thinking with what you just said. Just about anything is off limits on my show except direct hatred towards someone or something. Like, it's the only place, like, even I'll listen to it, but it's not going to, the interview won't last very long if it goes in that direction, if you know what I mean. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And before I get to that, though, I just want to talk one more point about kind of the scaling and the marketing, and then we got to move on to other stuff because there's so much we could cover here.
This has been great though.
Plenty
more to come. I'm 100% open to it, and it'd be great to get Ray on here too.
Yeah, right on. Peace of mind. We'll work towards that for sure. But I've received this request from several friends and all that, and I was listening to another show that kind of went into this, is that some people get into podcasting because they think it's this crazy get rich quick scheme, which is like totally not true, or
it's not.
They think because they have a forum, they can pretty much reach out to and talk to whoever they want. And I'll just bring up this one example because I get asked, like, a lot of people love Ghost Adventures. It's a very popular show. The people who don't love it are actual paranormal investigators who I've had on the show. They don't exactly say nice things about it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I get this question that, hey, you should have Zach Bagans on your show. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, number one, he has nothing to gain from coming on to my independent show.
Yeah.
There's nothing in it for him, really. And number two, if I did have him on, he's probably not going to be fully as engaged as someone like your local independent paranormal investigator, or he could potentially dodge a lot of questions or highbrow me and just be a dick for all that I know. Like,
yeah,
I just want to reach out to some of these people who asked us and say, hey, for example, Ben Axe, the guy I had on from Ohio a couple of weeks back or a few weeks back now, he told some tremendous stories about local hauntings in Ohio that I would never know about. And I'm thinking, yeah, Zach Bagans has a book that I've read. He has a full body of work on television and documentaries. Me interviewing him isn't going to expose anything new. Whereas if I go to the local investigator, he's going to tell me some cool stuff I've never heard before. And to me, that's more interesting than trying to be starstruck for the sake of having a big name on the show, even though the interview may be subpar.
Big time. Absolutely. I can totally attest to that because, I mean, like I said, me and on the Daily Transcendence, me and Ray have sat there and be like, oh, how cool would it be that to have some of our influences be on the show, especially given their point of view. And you know, what's crazy. We never thought that it would happen. Uh-huh. And we have, we gained a close personal relationship with one of our biggest influences, which is, Santos Bonacci.
Oh, he's been on your show, eh?
Yeah. Okay, like now twice. I mean, we haven't posted the second video yet. Okay. And that was great. And it was with one of his all time best friends. Cause we did one with one of his old best friends that we could not get technical difficulties. We could not get the video posted. And then we posted it just before we were able to get the Santos one. So they ended up going back to back. But then because of our connection, Ray was in connection with one of Santos' old friends and been talking to him for a while. And I reached out to Santos. This is the point that I'm trying to make, is that Ray said that. And I was like, well, what would it hurt to just reach out and just to say, what, am I going to get denied? am I going to get told no? And it didn't happen when we organized it to even happen, even though like he reached out and I was like, holy crap. I was like, he's willing to do it.
Yeah.
And we did it.
And the reason that really perked my ears is because I've heard him on several different shows and I think he's phenomenal at what he does. And the fact that he took the time for you guys, and I can tell he's a huge influence. That's really amazing to me.
Yeah.
Another common guest I saw that you and I have both had is the Flat Earth Mastermind. I call him David Weiss.
David Weiss.
Yeah. Now, tell me if this happened to you. Back in the winter time, his people or him reached out to me because they scout just about every single show possible to get his word out there. And I thought about it for a second, and I had heard him on other programs before, and I'm like, eh, this could go a little sideways, but what the hell? I may lose a few people, and I think I may have at that point in time. However, I had him on outside of a couple of technical issues. I thought it went really well, but to this day, it is my most downloaded episode.
Same here. You know why? When it comes to podcasting, and I'm not saying that this is what it's all about, but like when it comes to being able to have certain people on your show, their name, especially if they just have a knowing in general, just to have their name attached to anything, they're going to cause a little bit of a stir around your show. And I'm not saying that, yes, there's been a big contribution to having him or Santos on our show and stuff like that. But that's also ours. I think that is our biggest on YouTube, our biggest amount of views is that, because it's the community that you're reaching out to. And like, here's our thing too, because I know that he preaches a lot of flat earth. And I know that that's such a controversial subject, but when it comes to being part of the truth community, especially you had that episode about Hollow Earth and everything, and that can go against mainstream science as well as everything. But it's like, isn't science about questioning things? Isn't science about hypothesis and testing and testing and testing? There's no definitive.
It should be.
And this is the point that we're trying to make. It's like, hey, shouldn't you look at these things a little bit further? So it's amazing. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you had him on. That's amazing.
Yeah. And one point about the interview is that I'll put up my hand and solemnly swear this. I'm a total dummy when it comes to science. And I'm not just being, you know, self-deprecating or negative. It's just, you can tell me so much scientific information and I'll just believe it automatically because I don't know. Like, it's just not my area of expertise. When he gets into the scientific breakdown of why the earth is flat and all this, I'll be honest, he loses me. And I'm just kind of like, okay. But when I started to probe him about things in the greater truth community, conspiratorial realm, that's when I really got fascinated with the guy. And I was like, okay, flat earth is vehicle, but there's a lot more going on with this guy than people realize. And I think I got a little bit of that side out of him on my show, because a lot of other shows he's been on, people will just ask him the same bullshit questions. And I had to ask a couple of them myself, obviously, to set the tone, but I kind of took it in a different direction. And I thought that's where he really shone through on my episode anyway.
That's exactly what it is though, because it's the same thing for us. Like when we got that opportunity to talk to him, like honestly, like Ray was the one who introduced me to, and I'm going to put it in quotes, flat earth. Like, because of the fact that, like, one, I didn't understand it, but I understood the point of our podcast was to observe these type of things and talk about them, to investigate these type of things. And I'm like, I can't dismiss it. And I wasn't for it. And Ray was more for it and was like, hey, you know what? Like, let's, you know, we should be yes men. We should, that's the whole point. And I thought about it and I was like, yeah, the whole point of our podcast is to give people a platform to discuss certain things and not deal with the censorship that we have today. So it's like, when we had that opportunity, it was the same thing. It was like, let's not ask him, the basic questions. We're going to ask him no matter what. Like, we're going to ask him basic questions. He's going to go through basic things. But, like, let's bring that challenge a little bit. Let's get people to open their minds a little bit. That's the most important thing. And I think even that aspect for yourself of what you did was to open people's minds, to allow people to just gape open a little bit so a seed can be planted. That's important.
And a guy like him, like, I don't want to have him on to debate him. You know what I mean? Yeah, and I don't want to sandbag him, because enough people do that already. Now, he's up for the fight. Like, he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
But doing it from my perspective, I'm like, this is a little boring. Like, I'm going to do something a little different here. And overall, I'm pretty happy with how it turned out. So what I want to talk about right now, Gio, is that I want to identify briefly both frames of our podcast, because I feel mine is evolving. When I had to put my podcast in categories in certain groups, certain social media threads, explaining it to coworkers and friends, I said it was a paranormal podcast. And that's how it started. That was a big chunk of my early episodes, because really I had no other material to work on outside of that. So that was a good chunk of the early episodes. However, it expanded, because when you go into paranormal, spiritual, or conspiratorial realms, or even ancient history, it all kind of intersects together, and then you realize, I'm taking things in a rapidly different direction here. So what I feel started out for me as a paranormal podcast has evolved into a podcast that I like to call Mysteries of the Universe, okay?
Love it.
Unexplained content, which is in my title. Yeah. What can go under there? Well, a lot of things. So I started paranormal. I had the alien talk. Mostly with Kevin Estrella, who I told you about earlier. And then I started to do the psychic mailbag. I started going into spiritual and metaphysical things, which I love to talk about because I live a lot of it. And then David Weiss was a huge turning point, because I realized, okay, I can go into conspiratorial topics and not piss off a lot of people. In fact, I think my show slightly grew in popularity after that, back in the winter time. And you know, I had on someone from the first spiritualist church in my city, a church that embraces mediumship and energy healing. Mm-hmm. I've had on a very thorough, devout Christian to tell me about how he feels the Bible is accurately predicting the end times and how it's being manifested in front of our own eyes, which some of that episode I didn't agree with, but a lot of strong points were also made.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, I'm just trying to go to all different spectrums of the mysteries of the universe. And eventually I'm going to start doing more in terms of ancient history and Hollow Earth and the origin of our being, so to speak, because as much as many people like to say they know, it's really all speculation because they don't actually know anything. So how would you frame your own podcast? Would you call it spiritual, metaphysical, conspiratorial, ancient history? Like, what's the elevator pitch with Daily Transcendence, if you even have one? Because I always feel to connect to network,
you have to have one.
You need it. So what is yours? I'm going to put you on the spot.
I mean, if I was to put it in like a real summarized category that's unorthodox, I would say truth seeker.
Perfect.
That's what I would say. Truth seeking. But other than that, if I was to give it three, I would say, and this is all behind truth seeking.
Right.
Truth seeking in spirituality. Truth seeking in science. And just the involvement around those things, and involvement of all types of studies, and then history, truth seeking in history, because all of these things, what's funny is they all coincide. And I understand, like, we're going to go into some things that are conspiratorial, but like I said before, conspiratorial things, especially a lot of the content that you see on it, only cover so much to be like, hey, this is what's maybe a lie to you. Oh my God. And that's it. It's like, well, what do I do with that information? That's my thing. It's like, what do I do with that? And the point of our podcast is to be able to, and it's very similar to Santos. I think this is why we take such a liking to Santos, is because he created, not that he created, but he helped bring back alive syncretism of being like, there's this in history, there's religion, there's metaphysics, quantum reality, astrology, astrotheology, and he brings it all together in a point of understanding. Yes, it's like, well, aren't you just doing what he does? No, we're not. Because also, Santos takes it to a certain degree. We have our own way of dealing with it because we have used a lot of information in our own lives, plus our own experiences. We want to make things relatable to the listener or the viewer. We want to give all sides of the spectrum so that they can take it and be able to construct it in a way. The main thing is to, I think one of, I've noticed a pattern in our podcast is that we give you the origins always. We always feel for some reason it's important to give the origins. And the reason why is because if you see the origins on a chronological scale of how they go, then you start to be able to see where your beliefs come from, where your thoughts then come from. If you can see that, then you're able to be like, oh, that's making me think this certain way, which is making me act this certain way, which is a product of why I get the environment I get.
I've said this on the program before. I'm a big follower of David Icke. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't buy into everything he says. There's some things I am totally not in alignment with. However, before they got censored and taken down, I used to watch bits of his lectures because you'd find an old 9-hour presentation of his on YouTube. It was amazing, but you can only take it in certain sittings. And there's some parts of it I was almost moved to tears because he's displaying and explaining things that I know in my heart I've been into for a long time. And then the light bulb's going off intensely. And I'm like, this makes so much sense.
That's all you need.
This is why I gravitated towards this. And here he is just repeatedly spelling it out for me. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of it, because like I'm starting to say more so now in layman's terms, is that the fact that it's like, if anybody says to me, it's like, oh, you're part of the truth seeking community, but how can you know what the truth is? I don't claim to know the truth. I don't claim to prove to know the truth. But what the Daily Transcendence does is not tell you exactly what the truth is, but to be able to help you recognize what the lies are, what the deceit is. That you can definitely do. You can always see past the bullshit, no matter what it is. The lies can come outside of you and easily be recognizable, or they could just not feel right to you. They morally, there's a moral code no matter what. And if they don't feel right to you, then it's enough reasoning to question them.
Absolutely. And it all, like, I think all progress starts with questioning, and that's absent from a lot of people these days. And that's a whole other story. They don't
critical think. Yeah. There's a lot of absence of critical thinking.
Yeah, 100%. With that being said, you have a sustainable YouTube page for the Daily Transcendence. Have you had any issues you can discuss with citation or censorship? Because so many amazing content creators have had nothing but problems, especially in the last 2 years or so, since, like I said, a lot of Ike's YouTube content, if not all of it, has been removed.
Yeah, honestly, surprisingly not. I think we're just honestly not big enough yet.
You haven't ruffled enough feathers yet.
We haven't ruffled enough feathers yet. And the fact that I think that I think sometimes our things are a little bit too long for them to pick up on it. And it's very minimal, which we're working on shortening things down, but also taking out of the mass amount of content that we make in one sitting and be able to distribute it more digestibly. Cause we know that's what people want. People have a certain retention span that they need to be like, hey, like I need this in this amount of form, and then guide them.
And I was thinking maybe you and Ray have just gotten so savvy and articulate that you're consciously or unconsciously avoiding trigger words for the algorithm. and you're like, hey, maybe we're beating the algorithm and not even knowing it.
You can ask Ray about that. I'm very anal when it comes to that part. Yeah. One of our previous, our last episode, there was a certain part that it's not that Ray said things in his own expression. He said things in his own expression that in any other day I would laugh at. And you know what's funny? It's like in order to get to a flow state, we need to be able to express ourselves, even though it's pre-recorded.
Yeah.
But like, I was just like, you know, at the end of it, we're like, you know, that needs to be edited, right? And it sucks. It sucks to do that. It sucks. But you know what? In the same sense, it's like, you're trying to break through to people. It's the same way that I just watched something with Santos. He did a debate with a so-called channel called Flat Earth Fighters or something like that.
Okay.
And this guy is like an absolute child, the way he talks and acts. But the thing is, though, is that, and I will say this openly and easily, Santos is easily triggered, but Santos admits his own fault.
I mean, so is David Weiss. I mean, he's very high strung and that's just what you get with them. So,
you know, what's nice though. Like, I mean, then again, maybe I haven't had enough experience with David Weiss or have been able to see enough content for him to do that. But like, I've seen enough content plus dealing with Santos to be like, oh man, you can easily trigger this guy or this guy is, but you know what? That's his expression. That's his compassion towards what he's going into, but that's his own truth. And that's the part that I respect about him is that no matter what he says, that I don't represent this community, that whatever the next, I represent myself. I'm not saying that I'm holier than thou or a guru. I'm just telling you that this is the information. I'm trying to put it out there. And I'm like, you know what? I could respect that.
Wow. So you said the word flow state, which I think is beautiful. And Gio, I think you and I kind of reached that ourselves here because we only got about a good 20 minutes left together for this one. We're definitely going to reschedule in the future and do another.
Absolutely.
I just want to talk about mostly these two things for the time we have left. Number one, a little bit more about me. When we were putting this together, I said to you, I was going to explain some of my journey into healing and becoming a healer. I don't quite have the time to get into all of that here, but I'll just touch on a few basic points. And I think you're going to be able to add to it. Then after that, in another window, I actually have your YouTube page open. And what I'd like to do is I'm going to go through some of your titles, your show titles and your guests, and I'm going to get you just to come up with a sentence or two about them, your opinions. We'll get to people. We'll let them know your socials and how they can check you out and all that near the end. But I think that's awesome. What we'll have time for. So I said to you earlier, I experienced Reiki in 2013 and I was very, what's the word I'm looking for? I was very plugged up. I was very blocked. Clogged, if you will. And when I got unclogged, it almost felt like I'd had like an exorcism of some sort. Like I felt like, you know, not to be cliche.
Did you feel empty?
Empty is a good word, but I will say more clear.
Okay.
As well. So both of those words apply, definitely. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I'd had an exorcism and many things I was holding on to were no longer gone. And I was just in the mood to laugh. And the next, even the next 2 to 3 years of my life overall got very intense. And I think discovering this when I did helped me navigate through that in a lot of ways. And it got to the point where just recently I got certified for level 1 Reiki. Okay. And that has been intense in and of itself. Long story short, I talked about this on my Lightworker series at the end of June. Some very intense emotions started to come up at various points in my week. And I think it's because of a sense of awakening and certain things I'm just not happy about or putting up with anymore. So that's a byproduct of that. But I just want to say too, this is all in my blog on my spiritualshenanigans.blog, my journey into shamanism. Super short version of that right now is that when I was going through my dark period, which ironically is around the time I discovered those David Icke videos and lectures. Go figure.
But, yeah, right?
Yeah, of course. But anyway, I felt like in a spiritual growth sense that I had hit the wall. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, everything I've been working towards hasn't worked out. I've hit a wall. Where do I go next? And then that's when I discovered shamanism, and it just opened everything so much wider through a book, which I talk about in the blog. After I read the book, I was so blown away after like a week or two of reading it. And then I said, I got to see if there's a practitioner near me. And I found one within an hour from me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very helpful. Excuse me. And a few sessions in, or a couple sessions in, she says to me, you have the energy level to do this. You should do this. And I was just like,
you do.
Okay. But anyway, I was just at the time, I was like, are you sure about this? I don't know. This isn't really where I'm going with my life. And later that summer, I had a, what's it called? It was like an aura photography assessment done on me. And the woman giving it, who was a Reiki practitioner, was blown away. She was like, you have so much, you know, blue energy. She's like, you have the energy of a healer. So yeah, there's another sign. Anyway, long story short, my practitioner more or less closed the business down during COVID. And I was like, this is disappointing, but this is their decision. I'm not going to. And I find another one that's even closer to me. Instead of an hour away, they're like,
oh, wow,
you know, way less than that. And I go there for healing, but I find out they also teach many forms of shamanism and Reiki. And then I realize that's it. I want to blend the two together and start doing my own thing when it's time. So that's kind of how that all moved along. And even though that's the short version, that's about, I think, what I think I should share with you today. So like, what are your overall thoughts on that?
you can't ask me what I have my thoughts on. I mean, my thoughts are so complex. No, I'm just kidding. Like, honestly, like, that's just how I see it. Is just the amazing point of having the spark of like some sort of, I hate to use the terms that everybody uses, but like to have a spark of like some sort of awakening.
Yeah.
In the sense, and then to the point to take it one step further and to be so human, to be like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I should do this. Like to be so human and to be able to, especially in your case scenario, to be like, expressive about that in such a way, in some way, in your own maybe immediate environment, but then to go to the next step, to be able to be open to something and see it, and then all of a sudden feel it. That's the most important thing. It doesn't matter. Even that's one thing. It's like my biggest thing now. It's like no matter what me, even me and Ray say, or about any of the information, if it's not feeling based, if it's not resonating with you in any sort of way, and maybe it won't at first, but if it's not resonating with you, if you're not getting in sort of a, if you're not feeling this attachment to anything, even if you're not agreeing with us, there's no work to be done. And the fact that you went on this path to take it the next step further and the next step further and the next step further, that just goes to show, because like, it's funny, because like when you were saying those things to me, I have my thoughts and my feelings about Reiki, and especially going along my journey, not that I do Reiki or anything, but both my grandmas on my mom, my dad's side, I never knew about Reiki, but as I got older and into the information I got into, I realized that that's exactly what the hell that they were doing. When I was, I'll just tell you a quick story in a summarized way. When I was about 2 years old, my sister was trying, and she was 2 years older than me. She was trying to play leapfrog with me.
Yeah.
And she jumped on my neck while I was crawling and basically paralyzed me. And I was on my back. I could not move. My mom brought me to the hospital and they weren't sure how I was going to recover to it. Nothing was broken or anything. It just, it was a bunch of nerve damage. And my grandma on my dad's side, old Sicilian woman, go figure. Honestly, Italian women, like old generation Italian women, are the most superstitious.
Yeah.
And they don't even realize that they do shamanistic or witchcraft things. They have no idea that they do. Maybe they do, but I'm saying, at least for my family, they have no idea that that's what they were doing. So over time, my grandma would take olive oil and whatever else and rub my neck and call me from another direction to be like, to see if I would turn. And for a few weeks, when she would call my name after doing whatever massages or just hand things that she was doing around my neck, she'd call my name from behind me and I'd still turn my whole body. Then it came on the third week that after doing what she did, you know, rubbing her hands together, heat in her hands and putting it around mm-hmm. my neck and everything. Yeah. And mind you, I'm only 2 and some months old. She calls my name from behind and I was like, and I turned my whole neck. I was completely fine. Yeah. They thought that I was going to have neck problems. I don't have neck problems. Hmm. I have lower back problems, but I don't have neck problems. So like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's all energetic. It's intuitional as well. And it's beautiful because I sat there, like when you mentioned it to me, I had a thought, and this is no reflection of you at all.
Yeah.
I had a thought that I was like, I don't think just anybody should do it.
No.
I don't think you should.
Just to interrupt you there.
Yeah.
At one of my classes, I connected with a woman who's a medium who might be on the show later in the month, actually.
Okay.
And one of the things she said, she's like, yeah, everybody's not meant to heal. And then I'm like, she's like, everyone's got different roles. And I'm like, you know what? I never thought of it that way, but I totally agree with what you just said. It makes a lot of sense. Like, it's a lot of responsibility. Not everybody can handle it. So,
yeah. And I just don't think that a lot of people have it maybe in them naturally. That's just not their divine path, maybe.
Yeah, 100%. And I totally think what was done to you was a form of Reiki, whether they were conscious of it or not. Yeah. So,
exactly. Yeah.
Really neat. All right, man. So, we're almost up against the clock here. So I just pulled up your YouTube page. Okay. I just want to give people a better understanding in the few minutes we have left of what the Daily Transcendence is. So I'm just going to point in an episode here and you give me a quick elevator pitch of what it's about or why people should listen.
Let's go.
All right. Okay. Here's one. Jesus, the Sun, and the Zodiac.
Ooh, well, that's very basic form. That really goes to explain the real correlation and the syncretism between biblical teachings, as far as Jesus, especially the biblical teachings, how they synchronize with the sun and astrological things, but then also going a little bit deeper on an energetic level and how it still connects back to the faith of which you are brought into, how it still connects back.
Yeah, very cool to say the least. Here's one. You have several on this one. Origins of the Universe, Mysteries of the Anunnaki series. That is a subject I'm sure you could go on and on about.
Oh, that's so funny because, and I'll tell you a little story after about it real quick.
Okay.
But the Anunnaki was something that I fell upon that I actually was having a very hard time with and I was dismissing because I do try to go off of biblical scripture, ancient scripture, the Nag Hammadi library, the Bhagavad Gita, all those things. That's something that I was like, you know what? I believe in extraterrestrials and types of forms of spiritual beings. Why not dive into that? And it blew my mind and it made so much sense to me. But me and Ray actually stopped that. We could have went further. We had another episode we were going to do after whatever the last one is. We stopped. Because we felt like it was like, this isn't serving a purpose. But what's funny is now with what we're going into,
yeah,
I'm also seeing it. So is he, that it's starting to tie right back into that.
Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. And here's the last one I'll do for you. It's your most recent one. Very fascinating topic. Has Rome truly fallen, the Jesuit order and the Reformation?
Well, just like I said, that one goes back to everything that we've ever talked about. That really is the keynote of understanding the fact that not everything you hear, not everything you read, everything that you may possibly realize in this world comes from something a lot darker than you realize. And it could be a lie. It's about deceit. It's about split of consciousness. It's about elevation of consciousness. It's about having to not be deceived. And it's going to, that this series is going to be the one that really just goes so much more.
Well, one thing for sure, Gio, is that I have a lot of podcasts in queue, but every so often I got to reshuffle them. And I think yours just might get into my shuffle because, man, this has been awesome.
I love that.
Just before we get to where the people can find your guys on social media and YouTube and the web and listen to your show, I got one final question for you. My spirit animal, the most dominant one, is the mourning dove. And I have some really crazy stories about it that I could share with you another day. What is yours? Because I have a feeling you have one, whether you realize it or not. So I'd love to hear.
The monkey.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, do you see monkeys off the Jersey Turnpike or something? Like, where does the monkey show up in your life? I'm curious.
Honestly, it's crazy because, I mean, I'll give a little credit to Japanese astrology or Chinese astrology, yeah, I guess, yeah, yeah. Because I think I'm the year of the monkey. But that wasn't where it came from, because I was like, oh, the lion. That's probably the next closest thing. But the monkey, it's just because the monkey is wise. The monkey is most human. The monkey is most down to earth, but also up in the air and all over the place. And I can tend to be all things. And that's just my spirit animal.
Cool. The reason I made the remark about the turnpike is that most of the time when I see the mourning dove, I'll usually see more than one. And it's always when I'm driving on the highways to and from work or on rural roads, they're always on telephone poles. And if there's something I really need to be on high alert or pay attention to, they will literally be walking around the stone archway or front lawn of my building, and they won't fly away. They'll just hang around and just look at me, or they'll even fly onto my balcony and just to say, guys, hey, this is what's up. And I never, ever chose this animal. It chose me, but it's like my communication to a greater force. It's amazing. So
that's your guides. Those are them coming to you and your signs and telling you. I see a lot of signs with numbers, and I know Ray can say the same thing.
Yeah, I have a lot of numerical things as well. Well, Gio, unfortunately, we are like plumb out of time. Thank you for this.
Thank you.
Believe it or not, I was originally going to have the second appearance of the great Michael Wan on this episode when it's posting, but he's got a lot going on in the summer, so we weren't able to make that happen. I do want him back for appearance number two. Mm-hmm. This has been an amazing substitute, and just before we sign off, where can the people hear the Daily Transcendence and check you out on the web?
All right. Well, as far as listening to the Daily Transcendence, you can obviously find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, all your major and lower platforms as well. YouTube, we actually have more videos there. And then as far as social media, find us on Facebook, The Daily Transcendence, same thing with Instagram and Twitter. So we're not on there as much. We also have a TikTok, not really much posted there, but same thing, Daily Transcendence. But yeah, you can find us all there on those platforms, and there's a lot more to come.
And just remember, if, you know, hell forbid you end up in censorship jail, but
I welcome it.
I was just going to say, if you end up in that position on any of these platforms, you're probably doing something right. So take it as a compliment.
Yep. That's been my biggest thing to say to Ryan. I'm like, hey, we get censored. I was like, that's only more power to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Gio, man, all the best. We'll do this again.
Awesome. Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. I think what you're doing is amazing, and I look forward to a lot more, and also going into more of your podcast and seeing your growth. I think what you're doing is perfect. Don't change.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. And when we connect again, I'll have had more free time to dive deeper, into your show. So it'll be even more mind-blowing than what we've already had. So
no worries. We can go on for days about so many things, so no worries.
I'd like to thank Gio for taking the time and the energy and being fully present for this chat. And you know, I don't always like to rank the guests. I like all of them for taking the time and the energy to come on this show and share their experiences and thoughts with you, the true believers. But this one is easily going into my top five. It was flawless. That hour and a half we connected just literally flew by. It was unreal. And I want both Gio and Ray to come back on the show sometime in the future to collaborate. And if I didn't say so already, their show is done in seasons. And I believe they are just about to wrap up, if they have not done already, season two. Forgive me if I don't have that 100% correct. I am just making my way. I'm about three quarters into season one. And the show started in November 2020. And once again, that's called The Daily Transcendence. And if you like what I do with this show, you're going to love the energy, the passion, and the preparation and the research these guys do. Recommend it to just about anybody who is like-minded in this field, like you, the true believers. Now, to wrap up this week, just a quick reminder, I'm doing a collaborative interview with CJ from Infinite Rabbit Hole. I know we just heard from him a couple of weeks back on the Voodoo episode, which was a good one. But him and I are going to be interviewing Jennifer Galasso, who is a tarot deck designer and also a tarot reader as well. That one's going to be really cool. And then Julie, a woman who I'd say has quickly become a good friend of mine. She's going to be on. She's a psychic medium, and she's got a really intense and interesting story to tell. She'll be on for the Lightworker series on the 30th at the end of July. But of course, if you're a true believer, you have to stay tuned to the Unexplained Incorporated social media platforms, Twitter, at PhantomPhil3, Unexplained Incorporated on Facebook. And of course, you could find the show name on Instagram and my personal page, which is usually where I put announcements first, PhantomPhilUnexplained with underscores under all the words. So, if you haven't checked any of those out, especially the Phantom Phil Unexplained one, you missed out on the August lineup for Unexplained Incorporated, as we're just about to be booking into September now. I have a couple of ideas in mind for it, and who knows, we may even get that in place before the end of July, which would be outstanding. But that's not a guarantee, of course. So let me give you a brief rundown of what I have for you in the month of August, and we're only halfway through July. It's good stuff all around. So here we go. August the 6th, case study featuring Angel Card Amy, of course. Pardon me, I'm just knocking my laptop around in excitement. We're going to do a movie neither of us have ever seen before from 2007. It's called Borderland, and it's based on true events of some college kids who get tied up at the U.S.-Mexican border and find themselves get tangled up with a human sacrifice cult. Going to be intense, I bet, but should be a fun episode to break down this movie as well. And we're going to do another tie-in the following week, kind of what we've been doing the last couple of months with the case study. August 13th, Friday the 13th, why not? AJ and his two siblings, who host the Crime Family Podcast, they are based out of Toronto, and they're going to be coming on talking about true crime cases that involve cults and maybe getting into some occult territory with this one. August the 20th, really excited for this. Steph from the Scottish and Scared podcast, she was supposed to come on in the middle of June. She unfortunately had to postpone, but we have officially confirmed the makeup date. It is Friday, August the 20th. Steph from the Scottish and Scared podcast will be joining us over the pipeline from Scotland. And the little bit I've listened to her show so far, it's really cool. This chat is going to be a fun one. And maybe the most popular guest I've ever had in the Lightworker series so far. I don't think I've had anyone on with a bigger following than this person. Her name is Jessie Aurora. I believe she is also based out of Toronto. We have just connected very recently. And let me pull up her info here, because she is a lot of things. She runs the website atmathings.com, A-T-M-A things.com. And what does she do? Well, she provides alternative and holistic health services. She does energy healing, meditation coaching, tarot reading. She's currently studying a PhD in integrative medicine and looks to collaborate with other businesses that are like hers as well. So she will be the light worker of the month, August the 27th, and then we're going to be rolling into September. More info on that when we get it. But in the meantime, thank you for staying with me, true believers. I love you. Let's keep this thing growing and share. Drop me some more positive ratings on iTunes and reviews. I got some 5-star ratings and a really positive review up there right now. Let's add to it, help this thing grow. But in the meantime, you know how we roll. Mid-July action. Stay healthy. Stay strong. And of course, the most important one, stay curious. The doors of Unexplained Incorporated for this week are now closed.